With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Coronavirus Market Update. It is Saturday, August 8th, and we did receive from the government the report on July jobs. There were just under 1.8 million positions created during the month of July, and that was probably right in the middle, kind of the consensus. It was such a strange estimate because I saw reports of people who thought that there were going to be job losses in July, maybe up to a million. Maybe there were job gains up to 3 million. So this was sort of right in the middle. Seemed okay to me. Okay, what else did they tell us? They told us that the unemployment rate, that headline number, 10.2%, down from 11.1%. Good news. The broader unemployment rate, that's the one that we like to look at and when we talk about the U6. That rate stands at 16.5%. You know, big numbers, but down from the peak of 22.8%. You know, I think that this just tells us what we really know intuitively, and that is that the spread of the virus in the South and the West, now the Midwest, looks like it is slowing down the forward progress. 22 million jobs evaporated in March and April. Then about 7.5 million came online in May and June. I mean, June, 4.8 million jobs, ridiculous, huge number. Now we find out 1.8 million. So we know that job growth slowed down some in July. I guess that's okay. I think we just got to keep an eye on the path of the virus. That is going to determine what happens in the economy. Okay, now you got your data dump. Glad I could do that with you. Let's do something a little different this week, and we're switching gears. We are going to talk to a chef and owner of a restaurant in New York. The restaurant's name is Res Dora. The chef's name, the chef co-owner, is Stefano Secchi. And I just want to point out that this restaurant, Res Dora, got a ton of notoriety just over a year ago. The New York Times restaurant reviewer, Pete Wells, went in there and gave it a rave review. I saw the review. I immediately went, the restaurant is phenomenal. It's obviously not functioning as it once did. So we're going to learn a little bit about Stefano's background, how he got to this place. And then tomorrow we're going to talk about the state of restaurants in New York City and nationally. So Stefano, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm a fan myself. So yeah, it's great to be here without question.
Let's wind the clock back. Tell us a little bit about your career and how you came to starting this great restaurant.
My whole family is from Italia. I'm first generation American. And my parents came over to the States around 1980. Yeah, it was obviously an interesting time because there wasn't many Italian restaurants like there are now. But they've always been in the restaurant business, but they came here with nothing. And originally moved to California. Didn't love it, so they moved down to Texas and Dallas, Texas, and that's where I was actually born, of all places. So we spent 4 months out of the year in Italia and the remainder 8 months in Dallas going to school ever since I was growing up. So, yeah, I mean, out of high school, I went right up to CIA for culinary school. And then I worked in the city for a while. I went back down to Dallas at SMU to get an undergrad degree just so I could, you know, have a little bit of background, I guess, on the business side, so to speak. And then finally went back to Italia to cook for a long time. It changed my life. I guess I kind of got tired of cooking Italian food in the States. So I just moved over there. And
where did you go? Wait, where in Italy were you living when you were working there?
So I lived in Modena. I just went to Modena because I didn't know anyone, funny enough. Most of my family lives in Lombardia, in Milano, and in Sardinia. I got off the train in Modena because there was a friend of a friend that let me stay with him for a couple nights. And I just went to eat at every trattoria I could. I wanted to find like the best fresh pasta that I'd ever tasted really, right? Because I'm pasta al uovo, like the fresh pasta made with eggs. I must have eaten at maybe 20, 30 trattorias for like 2 weeks. And I ended up walking into this place called Osteria Giusti, which is in Centro Modena, Middle Modena. And they have a salumeria in the front, and they have four tables in the back, of which these four tables, I don't know if you're a fan of, there's a show called Master of None on Netflix, but Aziz Ansari actually went there to do an episode. And these four tables are so difficult to get. They have, you know, months in advance for the reservations. But I walked up every single day for the better part of 2 weeks to try and just get a reservation to sit down. And they got tired of me after a while. So I think they just took pity on me. And then and they said, I got a reservation once. So what you do is you walk into the salumeria, they give you the reservation, you walk behind the counter and below like this really low ceiling, past the kitchen into this back room. And there's four tables set up and it's always packed. And I got to sit by myself, and I'll never forget this. I had tagliolini con asparagi in the springtime. It was tagliolini with fresh asparagus and just like this really yellow butter and parmigiano reggiano. But when I put the tagliolini in my mouth and the texture that I had, that I tasted, I was just blown away. So I ordered five pastas. I had no antipasto. I had no secondi. I had all pasta and lambrusco. And I asked them for reservation for the next day. And then I ate there two more times. And I finally asked to do a trail with them or to come work with them. And they first said no. And then and finally, the guy was like, the nonna was like, fine, you seem like a genuine guy. Just come back in July. And I showed up on July 6th. They totally forgot I was coming. And I just started working with the nonnas then. I mean, I started rolling out pasta matarello.
Oh my God, that's the best story. But you want to know the best part of the story? I've been to that restaurant.
Have you been? Okay.
Yeah, because I was in Modena in 2013, and we went to the balsamic vinegar place, Acetea di Giorgio, and then we went to lunch at Osteria Giusti. It was a life-changing lunch, truly,
Agreed.
Unbelievable. And I think that we could have had five pastas, but I was like embarrassed, truly. That's like amazing. What is it about the almost like the gestalt of a restaurant like that, that you could bring to the United States and incorporate into this restaurant when you come back here? What was it that was so different?
That's such a good question. So the interesting thing was this one. And I cooked Italian food all my life. My father showed me Italia. Like I spent all my time, most of my time in Italy when I was growing up. When you go and like you cook at a place that has been perfecting like the traditions for hundreds of years, because it's the oldest salumeria in all of Europe. And you go and see how these things have been made and perfected. I used to go with Laura Morandi in the morning to Mercato Albinelli. We'd go get all the ingredients for lunch. We'd come back and I have to impastare like 15 whole eggs with 1.5 kilos of flour, right? And I'd do everything by hand. And then we would go upstairs, Laura, and we would go into the pasta room, which is a big wooden board. And you have a big long mattarella, which is like a rolling pin, no machines there. And I would just start rolling out pasta. And I was so bad in the beginning. I mean, awful. Time and time again, day after day, 5 days a week, I just started learning how. And you keep the window open depending on humidity. If you want to let some humidity in, or you close it if it's too dry outside, it's just incredible how those small little nuances make sense. So when we were talking about coming back to the States and just opening a restaurant based on the food of Emilia Romagna, I also worked with Massimo at Osteria Francescana when I was in Modena after I worked with Laura. And like they're much more contemporary, right? But at the same time, you have to know the tradition of food from Emilia Romagna before you can actually cook with Massimo, because he thinks that's very important. So that's what it became. It's like I learned to make this food in the most traditional way, and that I had never seen ever in the States, with like the most amazing ingredients, with the Trinity, which is aceto balsamico, parmigiano reggiano, prosciutto di Parma. And it grew from there.
You're not just the chef, you're one of the owners, right? And now you got to go raise the money, right, to go do this. How'd you do that?
I mean, how many countless dinners with like wealthy individuals, with like friends of friends, I cooked free dinners for 2 years.
Okay, so you opened up when?
We're coming on about our year and 3 month anniversary. So if memory serves me right, it was May 10th of last year.
And you were immediately out of the gate. You get this fantastic Times review, but the restaurant's very small. That's a challenge in and of itself. Even if you're really successful, how much, I don't know, you're not going to turn 1,000 tables or anything. No. So it went really well, I imagine, for all of 2019. You felt good. You felt like, wow, cash flow is great. Like, tell me what was going on for you.
Yeah, I mean, our margins are small in general in the restaurant business. And I always tell people, like, you get in this because you love this. It's not because you're going to be, you know, retiring at 45. I mean, it's, you have to love taking care of people and like cooking amazing food, which I love to do all those things, right? But you're exactly right. It was very busy. And even in the beginning before the Times Review, it was very busy. But we were so nervous about opening a restaurant just based on, you know, food from Emilia Romagna that like maybe a lot of people didn't know about, that wasn't overly gussed up with a lot of herbs and different sauces and, you know, things that maybe people are more accustomed to in Italian food in the States. So we just, I guess, underwrote really conservatively when we put the business plan together, and just trying to, if we're going to fail this thing, we're going to fail doing something really small where I was there every single day, of which I worked 115 days in the beginning straight. I mean, I've never been so tired in my life, right? But you're working on adrenaline at that point. We were incredibly busy, and people took to it, and we didn't even know Pete Wells was coming in. We didn't even know he was here until the last, we heard like he may have been here on the last, he does three visits. He may have been here on the last visit, and everyone's nervous for the Times Review, right? Because that's the big, that's the big gig. But we were just, it was humbling, Jill, without question. We never expected.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay. So now here's my question for you. You start this year, you start 2020. Life's good, right? First couple of months, even though it's, you know, whatever, it's winter in New York. This is perfect food, by the way, you know, for anyone listening. This is like the best winter food. It's the best summer food. It is the best food I've ever had in Italy. Okay. So what happened to you in March? The pandemic hits. What did you have to do? Did you lay everybody off? Did you furlough people? What happened?
We didn't lay anyone off, to be honest with you, Jill. We closed down for 3 days. We immediately pivoted to delivery, of which we put all of our dishes out. We put them all into go boxes with help from our suppliers. And then we let them sit there for an hour. And then we tasted them all afterwards. And we were like, what travels the best? We got rid of 50% of our menu, 60% of our menu, because they didn't travel well, right? And then just opened for delivery. And we got help from a lot of our guys. But the interesting thing is, Jill, we didn't lay anyone off. If they didn't want to come to work, and we said, okay, fine, we'll you know, specifically say, you know, we can lay you off so you can take unemployment if you don't feel safe, and that's no problem. But everyday wellness checks, I mean, every day we had checklists of like temperatures, I mean, washed hands, it was incredible. I mean, but we have such a tight-knit crew here. We didn't have any issues with COVID, thank God.
I mean, how many employees do you have? And they're all, and they've been working the whole time. I'm just so amazed by that. So tell me, how many folks do you have there?
Yeah, we had, I mean, in the beginning we had, you know, I want to say 40 employees front and back of the house, but we actually, half of them ended up not coming back in terms of the back of the front of the house. And then like a couple from the back of the house, everyone else, a large portion stayed. And so when we pivoted to delivery, obviously our fixed costs went down, our variable costs went down, and we were able to somewhat cash flow with like our wine inventory that we had down there anyways. We weren't purchasing any wine. We were selling it at decent price points, but we were busy in delivery because we were one of the only guys doing it. And we're lucky to have a nice reputation going into it, which, you know, thank God.
Do you guys own the building that you're in, or are you renting?
So I learned this from my dad a long time ago when he came to the States. They ended up a big problem with their first landlord, which their first, they had restaurants in Dallas, of which are called Ferraris. And their first landlord was very tough on them and then pretty much inflated them out of their spot. So they said, Stefano, if there's only one thing I can recommend is just try and find a way to buy the building. So I was lucky enough that my partner, who we met in California together, he wanted to do something similar. So I said, okay, just let's figure out how to find a way to purchase. So we just got a really inexpensive building on what we think is a great block, and that's helped.
Well, wasn't that fun? I mean, come on. First of all, he's got a great Italian accent. And I'm hoping just talking to him will rub off and allow me to become a better cook of Italian fare. I know that Mark is very interested in that as well. So if you've got a financial question, don't hesitate. We're not going to answer it tomorrow, but we are answering all throughout the week. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. askjill@jillonmoney.com. And don't forget to wash your hands, wear your masks, maintain your physical distancing, and please, please lift somebody up today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.